The GOP has long championed entitlement reforms. In today's Congressional Corner, Vermont Representative Peter Welch tells Alan Chartok that Medicare should not be tampered with.
Peter Welch, why don't you talk to us a little bit about Medicare, if you would? I recently was scheduled for some surgery, and the guy pulled out and said after January 1st, he wasn't accepting Medicare anymore. And he was quite a well-known guy. And I'm concerned about that, in that his position is we don't get enough in terms of reimbursement now. We're going to have mandated Medicare savings coming up, and will we lose more doctors from the program?
Well, I certainly hope not. Medicare is really crucial. It's been a lifeline for Americans since 1965. Anybody 65 or older has some security that they're going to have the health care they need as they get older and we all get sicker. So there's a really rock-solid commitment to maintaining the integrity of Medicare. The challenge in Medicare is the challenge of health care. We have a very fragmented health care system, where it's inefficient and where we spend a lot more on medical treatment than we need to, and where the care is not coordinated. And whether you're a Medicare patient or you're a private pay patient or you've got employer-sponsored health care, it's complicated and confusing, as anybody who's ever been in a hospital knows. So what we have to do is bring down the cost of healthcare that's been growing oftentimes at 2 and 3 times the rate of inflation, profits, and growth. And how do we do that? It's got to be through system changes, the delivery changes, try to move away from a fee-for-service, volume-driven system, to have wellness programs, to have incentives for preventive care, to do things like what we're doing in Vermont on a bipartisan basis, where we have what we call the blueprint for health, but it's a way to manage folks who have 6 of the primary chronic diseases that cost about 70% of our healthcare budget. The other kind of things that we can do is negotiate better price discounts from drug companies. You know, in the VA and in the Medicaid program, when government's a bulk buyer of prescription drugs, what we are able to do is negotiate a bulk price discount.
And how come we can't do that now? You remind me, did the Republicans insist that the pharmaceuticals be protected when the health care law got passed?
That's exactly right. Tom DeLay was the hammer, as they called him, the Republican enforcer in the House. And in the legislation, he put a provision that made it illegal for the Medicare program to negotiate bulk price discounts, even though we were buying in bulk. And if we just got rid of that one line in the bill, we would save taxpayers in the Medicare system about $160 billion over 10 years. I mean, this is outrageous, because it would be like you went into the CVS to buy aspirin, and you look in the bottle that has 100, and the price per aspirin is half of what it is if you buy the bottle with 20.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what we all do. That's what the government should do, but we've made it illegal. So there are lots of things that we can do that would make healthcare more efficient. And by the way, we need to do less expensive, and it would be beneficial not just to the sustainability of Medicare, it would be essential to the sustainability of our entire healthcare system. So that's the direction that, in my view, we should be going. And we've got to work with our doctors and our providers. They're on the front line to make sure reimbursement rates are fair. But there's a lot of waste, and we need the cooperation of all our providers to make that system more efficient.
How come the Farm Bill doesn't get passed?
Outrageous. I mean, that is just Exhibit A of congressional dysfunction. There's no good reason why the Farm Bill doesn't get passed. It was passed in the House, in the Senate. We passed a Farm Bill in a bipartisan vote in the House Agriculture Committee, on which I serve. It's controversial. But you know what? Debated on the floor. You know, when I visited with Mr. Cantor, the majority leader, and he has the authority to bring the bill on the floor or not. I mean, this literally is his decision. I was with two of my Republican colleagues, and we said, members can defend a yes or a no vote. What none of us can defend is no vote at all. And this Farm Bill, by the way, is important to farmers. It's important to dairy in upstate New York and in Vermont. It's important for our nutrition programs and our conservation and environmental programs that farmers depend on to maintain the quality of their soil. This is really important. And by the way, it saves money. There's a lot of things in this farm bill we could criticize. And if we had it on the floor, folks could offer amendments, try to improve it. But the idea that Congress is failing to do what it has to do every 5 years, pass a new farm bill, is inexcusable.
Talk to me a little bit about Irene recovery. You know, we're all absorbed in Sandy, but Irene still has a lot left undone.
Well, there's two parts to it. And first of all, I really want to thank Chris Gibson, Paul Tonko, Bill Owens. I mean, we all work together on both sides of the lake.
And by the way, they all thank you, because every time I interview them, they mention you.
Well, they did a good job. We really worked together. And there's two parts to it. There's the initial response, you know, the infrastructure, the roads, the bridges that were wiped out. And we did a really, I think FEMA did a good job on that, because we got the money that our communities needed. We got those roads and bridges back in line. That was essential to get our economy going. And that's where, on the big stuff, where it took big dollars and it took an all-hands-on-deck approach, I think we did well. Now what we're seeing is the real heartache of the people who were hit directly. If your home was lost or your business is really compromised, and FEMA has to make a decision about whether you're eligible for what is limited FEMA aid, that's where the bureaucracy is just grinding people's spirits down. And it's very, very frustrating for folks in all of our districts that are getting what they feel is a bit of a runaround with bureaucratic delay. So all of our offices are doing everything that we can to help expedite the decision-making. But this is where it is tough with FEMA, because I've talked to a lot of our, like, town managers and a lot of people who've been dealing with a FEMA administrator for 3 months, and they thought they had everything where it needed to be to get a yes or no. And then that administrator suddenly is transferred, and they have a new administrator they have to deal with, and the new administrator makes them start from the beginning. I mean, that's just not right. So it's real tough out there, and we just got to hang in. But it's really putting a big burden on a lot of our folks who really were hit the hardest and suffering still.
After Sandy, the president said he wouldn't tolerate bureaucratic delays, but maybe there's a disconnect here.
Well, there's two things. You know, as I say, there's the quick turnaround that we did get when it came to major decisions about money to do the rebuilding of the infrastructure. But then when it gets to an individual home, and where, in fact, FEMA does have some responsibility to document what the loss is, so they have an expectation that is at a certain point legitimate for you to show what it is you lost. But on the other hand, none of us planned for a disaster, so it's not like all of us have taken pictures of every single thing we have.
Mm.
So it's just really, really hard.
But our listeners should go around right now and take a videotape of everything in their house, right?
Well,
because you never know.
If you get hammered by a storm and you're dealing with FEMA or you're dealing with your own insurance company, that kind of documentation does, in fact, help. But, you know, we all have busy lives. And
sure.
We don't.
I haven't done it.
Yeah.
I should, and I keep kicking myself. Peter Welch, that's great. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about some of your prestigious appointments, okay?
Thank you.
Now an update to today's Congressional Corner interview with Peter Welch. The Congress has voted to extend portions of the Farm Bill through September as part of the last-minute fiscal cliff vote, a temporary extension of the expired bill. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.